Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. I have almost no willpower when it comes to treats. Not like zero, but close to zero. There is a package of 2-bite brownies in my kitchen right now, and it will take every single ounce of willpower I have to stop myself from consuming all of them by 10 p.m., like every single one of them. I just can't have them in my house. Many, many people deal with a similar challenge when it comes to their spending. Like they have to summon all of their willpower to prevent themselves from spending on things that they don't really, really need. And relying on willpower really just isn't enough. Our next guest says that willpower is in part, maybe large part, a biological process, and we need to stop relying on it when it comes to our money. Ramana King is the senior finance editor of Finder, and she joins us from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello there.
So good to be here, Bruce.
Great to have you back. When you hear the word willpower, how do you define it? What does it mean to you?
Oh, I mean, I was like you. I thought I had to muster every ounce of every willpower. It came from my mind and I could just will myself into doing or not doing something. And then I would get a bag of mango. My thing is dried mango from Costco. And in 2 days, I would eat the whole bag.
Yes.
My husband looks at me and goes, how are you not like sick to your
comatose
stomach? I don't understand. Right, yeah. Exactly. And so I don't have it in my house. I cannot buy it. It cannot be in my house. I will actually sniff it out. It's so bad. So based on this and based on what I observed in myself, which is why do I have such great willpower when it comes to my finances, until that one or two times I'm buying gifts out of the year. And then next thing you know, I'm $1,000 over budget. And I'm like, why? I'm great. I started looking at willpower and just what it meant. And I realized that unbeknownst to me, really smart people have been studying this for a long time. And they've come up with this theory, which there's a lot of credibility and a lot of studies behind it, saying willpower isn't just a mental process, which was a shocker to me.
Yeah. So when we use the phrase a biological process versus just a mental process, what does that mean?
So I've come down to like really short notes, cheat notes. It's there's a biological process that happens in my body where hormones get released that help me say no to something or yes to something. Yes to exercise, no to that chocolate bar. But I only have a certain amount of that hormone. I only have a certain supply of it. And if I keep using it, then it gets depleted. So I can start the day with a full glass and then end the day with an empty glass. Now, here's the problem. It's not just when I use the willpower. It's stress. It's lack of sleep. It's all the other stuff I throw onto my body and to my day that helps deplete that hormone and means that I don't have it in stock for when I need it to say no to something. And so that becomes a problem if I go to the grocery store and I'm hungry. Everyone kind of knows this. And all of a sudden that, you know, $40 grocery cart that I wanted becomes $140 because I have all these impulse. Oh, I need this. Oh, that looks good. That's on sale. And that's how I blow my budget.
Well, it also makes me think of the tasks that we have to do to keep a handle on our money, like, I don't know, balancing our checkbook or filing our taxes or all that, all those sorts of things. It sounds like one of the things we should be doing is doing those when we wake up in the morning, because we have at least a hope of having some of that hormone coursing through our body.
See, that's a really good observation. I actually started doing that. I started paying the bills first thing in the morning on certain mornings. I'd get up a little bit earlier for that reason, because I have willpower, shall we say, to actually do the boring things, pay the utility bill, than to go out and buy that nice new sweater. And so, or even to just, you know, watch a Netflix show. So I think there is some validity to that, but I think that there's things that we need to sort of put into place on a day-to-day basis or on a moment by moment basis that'll help us in the long run, in particular, because science is showing us that the impulsive part, the part that sort of we think is willpower, that's the day-to-day short-term stuff. And that's what gets us in trouble. And the long-term stuff, the expansive stuff, the long-term goals, the goal setting, all that stuff, that's the stuff that suffers because our impulsive part of our brain takes over.
So what are some other tactics that we could employ such that we were less reliant on that limited amount of willpower hormone?
You want to start with the frontal cortex, the expansive, long term goal planning part of our brain, to actually set our intentions and understand what our goal is. So we start there. Okay, I want to, you know, we did a survey of Canadians and they said 55% said, I want to save money. That's my goal for this year. So you set that expansive intention. And then the impulsive part of your brain, the brain that we rely on for willpower, those are the hacks that we have to think about. So some of the hacks that we looked at were, hey, why don't we use the 24-hour rule? I use this on my kids a lot. If you really love it and you really want it, tomorrow, 24 hours later, we'll come back and get it. So it's that idea that I have to postpone any purchase that's not pre-planned and part of a goal for 24 hours before I can buy it. And if I postpone 24 hours, I might have more resources in my willpower stock to say no to something that's not as important as that long-term expansive goal.
What do your kids say when you evoke the 24-hour rule?
Well, they're really good at it now because they'll say things like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll wait 24 hours. And then I'll actually check in with them a little bit later. Hey, you know that Nerf gun you really, really wanted? How are you thinking about it now? Oh, I'm not so sure. And we actually recently did this. They did end up buying a Nerf gun that they really wanted, but they actually ended up waiting 1 week. And that's part of building that willpower resource. It's understanding how to delay your gratification without thinking that you have to rely on that willpower solely and only, right?
There are scientists, as we say, who've been studying this. Is there any hope that there is a supplement that Jameson can market that will give me more willpower?
Oh, you know, if they had, I would have bought all of it by now, Bruce, and yes, it would all be in my, but you know, and there are things we can do. Eating well is something that's really important. The other thing that I found out was, you know, there's a health psychologist from Stanford, Kelly McGonigal. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. Mm-hmm. And she actually found that there's three things, processes we can do to get into that frontal or expansive, long-term objective part of our brain. One of it is vigorous exercise. So if you're going to go out to the mall, go for a run first.
Wow.
Right? Adequate sleep. I don't ever think I've ever heard someone say, I'm going to take a quick nap before I go grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's a good strategy, making sure we're rested. And mindful meditation or mindfulness meditation, taking 10 minutes in the parking lot before we have to go out and spend money, or taking 10 minutes before we're looking at that budget, just to deep breathe and center ourselves and become calm within. Exactly. Suddenly it's like, well, I can look at my budget and say, you know what? Netflix and Disney and Crave, one of them can go, and I can put that money towards a bigger long-term goal like retirement or saving for my kids', you know, financial future with their education.
I want to finish with one that, you know, we talk about on the show all the time, and that is carrying cash, using cash for small purchases. How does that connect to willpower as science?
Well, I mean, I'm one of those people that I'm not an all or nothing person anymore. I used to be like that, where I was like, you know, I make all good decisions or no good decisions. And I'm trying to teach my kids that that's impossible, that I have to allow myself to make those mistakes or not to be perfect and then learn from them. But how do I do that from a financial perspective? Well, if I know I'm an impulsive shopper, why don't I actually set myself a goal of saying, hey, I've got $100 in my wallet. In 1 month, I can spend that $100 any way I want, don't have to worry about it, no impulse control at all. But once it's gone, it's gone. And so if I want to buy that, you know, pack of gum that I didn't have on my grocery list, then I can buy that pack of gum, but it's going to be in cash. And the other sort of adjunct to that is, hey, if you can't carry cash or it doesn't work with your you know, lifestyle, you know, during COVID, nobody took cash, we all did. Create a cashless version of the cash jars by setting up accounts. Set up multiple savings accounts so that you can put your retirement fund in one, your kids' education fund in another, your family vacation fund in another, the car payment that you're the ultimate car you want in another. That's a form of setting aside cash or cash jars to make sure that you get into the habit of doing those savings so that what you're spending is really just the money that you have on hand.
Fascinating stuff. Romana, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Bruce. It's a pleasure.
Ramona King, the senior finance editor of Finder. She joined us to talk about the science of willpower, and she is definitely going to pursue the creation of a supplement to that she will sell only to me to increase my level of willpower, in particular on the two bite brownies.